Mary was the prayer of all your hearts. I sure do. We serve a great, great God. Last week, I was asking the question, do we really understand what a lot of the Bible says? There are certain things in the Bible that we understand, but there are things that we do not understand. And when we got home, I ran out of time. I got about halfway through the message last Sunday morning. And when we got home, my wife says, "You didn't finish." And it left everybody wondering. So I want to try and end that wonder this morning. I want to finish that particular message because I believe it's a very, very important message. The reason that I think it's so important is because Jesus, the one that you and I have believed upon in order to be saved, Jesus made some statements. They were important enough that two of the apostles, Matthew and Mark, both addressed them in their gospels. And so I want to look at them again this morning as our jumping off place. And then we will see if we can get into this. The first place is Matthew 10:22. Matthew 10:22. And Jesus said, "And ye shall be hated of all men." Well, that's normal. "For my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved." And the next place is in Mark, and it's the same incident, Mark's take on it, and he says, "And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved." The portion of each verse that we're interested to is the last part of each verse. "But he that endureth to the end shall be saved." What does that mean to you, to me? So we're going to continue this message this morning from last week. And I was about to address another scripture, 1 Corinthians 1, verses 24 and 25. 1 Corinthians 1, verses 24 and 25. "But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask him to bless this message this morning. Father, we come to you because we need the power of your Holy Spirit working in all of our hearts. Father, guide my mouth, guard my mouth, that I might not speak anything in error, but that I might speak the message that you have for each one of us, that I might speak it in truth, that I might rightly divide thy word of truth, that I might be a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Father, may your will be done in these next few moments. And Father, we will praise you for what you do, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. When we have the power of God working in our lives, we are not supposed to become bullies. A lot of times a person who gets power, is given power, who is given authority, becomes a bully. They lord it over other people. We see examples of this even in government, where they are trying to control the people that are supposed to be in control of the government. They are becoming bullies. And some people, when they are given a little bit of authority, they become really hard to get along with. And it's not an uncommon thing. So we are not to bully the weaker brothers and sisters. As we all sit here this morning, God sees every one of us exactly the same. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior this morning, if there has been a time in your life when you have gone to Jesus and you have confessed your sin, you have let him send repentance into your heart, and you have sorrow for sin, and you have asked him to come into your heart and forgive your sin, God did that. And at the same time, he did it through the working of his Holy Spirit. That means you have the Holy Spirit in your heart. He's living in you. And anything he has is available to you if you will let him give it. So we need to understand that we have stronger folks here, we have weaker folks here. I'm speaking about our relationship to God. Some of us have a weak relationship. Some of us have a stronger relationship than others. But in God's sight, every one of us are equal. We're all the same. And there are some things he wants from us. One of the things that he wants to resolve any problems that we're having between us and him. And folks, we'd be lying to ourselves if we didn't say that we have problems between us and God. Because our will is very different from his will. His will is perfect. His will leads to joy, to blessings. Our will leads to eventually damnation. We're not responsible for the things that are accomplished in our lives. None of us. I know there was a time when one of our previous president said that, you did not start your business, you were not successful, the government made you successful. That's not true. The government has never made anybody successful. And God is the one who has made you successful. If you're successful this morning, God is the one who has made that for you. None of us have accomplished anything in our own power. We're not capable of it. We're sinful, mortal creatures. We live for a while, and then it's time for us to leave this life and to go on our way, one place or another. There's only two choices. No matter what anybody else might say, it's either heaven or hell. And those are the only two choices. And so God is the one who can make us successful, because he is the one who can take us to heaven to be with he and to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to understand that it is God that has made you successful. It is God who has helped you to accomplish whatever you have accomplished. You did not do it on your own. When we're all born as babies, we all have potential. Some may have a little more potential than others. Some may be a little more intellectual than others. But God can take anyone, and make them successful if they will let him. I think of a young man. Well, he's not a young man anymore. In fact, he's gone home to be with the Lord. I think of he was young when my wife and I knew him. Born with Down syndrome. And he loved Jesus. He learned to love Jesus very early in his life, and he would go around and tell people how much he loved Jesus. In his 40s and 50s, he was still telling people how much he loved Jesus. And then one day he got to go home to be with him. So it's not what we have done. It's what God has done for us and through us. In Ephesians 1, verses 19 through 23, Ephesians 1, verse 19 through 23, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church," that's us, "which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." In these five verses, we have the explanation and the incentive for each of us to be all that we can be for the Lord. The first part of the process involves no longer working in our own power. I know none of you have probably ever done this. Tried to accomplish something in your own strength. I'm seeing smiles. Have some of you tried to show everybody just how great you were, how smart you were, how powerful you were? Well, sometimes we do that. The power that we are supposed to be operating in and the power we can be operating in is the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. That's the real power of God. And if we will let him use that power in our life, he has promised that when our life is over, he's going to use that same power to take us to heaven to be with him. 2 Corinthians 5, 6 through 8, it says, "Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." And that is the expectation of everyone here this morning, if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The moment that you take your last breath on this earth, you will be with him in heaven. Now, Jesus is not living a life of defeat because of the crucifixion. The crucifixion made him victorious. Victorious over our enemy, the devil. And so through him, we, you and I, can have victory. Now, if we're still living life in our own strengths, we're destined to fail. If you're trying to do what you're trying to do in your own strength, you're gonna fail. The power of Jesus' resurrection is available to everybody who knows him as personal Savior. We have that power available to us for living, and we also have that power available to us for dying. Because we're going to do both if the Lord doesn't come back. Now, a lot of people say, well, I'd like, I can I feel like I'm willing to die for the cause of Christ. That doesn't matter. The question is, are you willing to live for the cause of Christ? Because that's what we're supposed to be doing. The future for each of us is living for Jesus and overcoming our own lusts and desires. Salvation brings us to the universal church. When we're saved, we become a part of that church. And Jesus saves us because he has a place for each one of us to serve. He has something for you to do. We can labor for him. We can go out into the world and we can do what he gives us to do. We can talk to the people he brings across our path. And when we get sort of worn out, we go back to church. That's what we're doing this morning. And get our batteries recharged. Sort of like the Energizer Bunny, you know. We wear out. We're human. We get tired. We're human. And we like that excuse, we're human, because we think that'll give us an excuse for some of the things we don't do that we should. And that's not true. Even if God should bring into your life a physical ailment of some sort, where you are not able to get out among people, where you are confined to a particular place, there are still things that you can do. You say, well, what? You can write cards of encouragement to our missionaries. You can write cards of encouragement to some of our people who have been laid aside and can't come to church. I know of several right now who cannot be here this morning because of physical ailments. You can call them. That's ministry, folks. That's sharing the love of Jesus that he has put in your heart. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. You can pray. Many of you prayed for my wife as she was going through pancreatic cancer. And she went through that. God answered your prayers. What a blessing to know that people were praying for her and to see God answering those prayers. We can pray for our missionaries. And we will see God answering our prayers as they are able to share the gospel with the people that God has called them to minister to. But there's something, and yes, last Sunday, that's about where we were at. I talked about entering into salvation, taking a step into the, and then stopping and never going any further. That is not why you were saved. That is not why Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary and was raised from the dead to give you the power to do what God needs for you to do. Paul, writing to the Philippian church, Philippians 2:12, encouraged them, saying, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation." I think we saw that this morning, didn't we? In our Sunday school, with fear and trembling. Jesus bought our life on the cross. He bought us. We belong to him. He owns us. We no longer own our own life. Jesus does. He wants us to serve him with that life. Salvation is an unfathomable realm in which we can live and serve and experience the blessings of the Lord during our earthly pilgrimage through through this life. We talked last year about this time about the next step. Tim is using the illustration I did. We're locking arms. We want every one of you locked arms with us. We want to take you with us. We want you to take us with you as we go toward heaven and God's purpose for each one of our lives. Now, we need to understand that salvation does not guarantee there won't be a few bumps along the road. There always are. That's what makes us stronger, trying to get over that hump. But it does mean that we will not travel the road by ourselves. We have a journey laid out by God for our life. We have a path given to each one of us. And each of our paths are a little different. But God has blessings upon that path as we go through our life. If we continue the journey. And so, folks, I want to remind you what we were talking about last week and we are talking about again this week. Jesus made this statement, "But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." Sometimes we read things in the Bible that we don't understand. We just overlook it because we don't want to go there. And the place we don't want to go is if a person professes Christ and then stops and never takes the next step. Did that person really receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior? There are times when churches split and part of the congregation leaves and they go to other churches or they leave and start a church of their own. But there are some that leave and never darken the door of a church again, because their pride has been hurt. And that is indicative of the fact that maybe they really never were saved. They didn't endure to the end. They quit. How can we expect God to bless our lives if we profess Jesus but never possess him? And possession is the important part. God is the one who has to do the work. We don't do it. I can't save any of you. I can't. I can love you as much as I want and want the very best for you, but I can't save you. I don't have the power. And you can't save anybody here. You don't have the power. The power comes from only one place. It comes from God through his Holy Spirit that causes us to be born again. Our souls, before we're saved, are dead because of the sin. God has told us in his word, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." And when Adam and Eve committed that first sin, what did the devil trick Eve with? "Oh, you will not surely die." She didn't die physically. She died spiritually. Her soul died. That's why they hid from God. That's how God knew that they had sinned. We can't trick God. God is omniscient. He knows it all. He knows what our thoughts are. He knows what our life is actually all about. He wants us to be his child. He wants us to be under the direction of his Holy Spirit. That's why he's living within us. When a person gets saved, they don't get saved for just a day or two. It's supposed to last for eternity. That's the way God intended it. And if a person practices Christianity for just a while and then they quit, did they really have what they needed to begin with? When we're saved, when we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, our life no longer belongs to us. Our life belongs to him. Now, he's at the right hand of God making intercession for us because our life belongs to him. He wants good for us. He does not want bad. And some things that we think are bad sometimes are good because they help us to grow. But he's there to make us successful in God's sight. One of the things that God does is if you or I go astray, and we do, if you or I get off the path, God chastens us to bring us back to where the path is so that he can continue to love us and bless us and use us. But some people who claim to be Christians, who have made a profession of faith, they've walked an aisle, they've shaken the pastor's hand, they may even have kneeled at the altar and shed tears. But if they take the chastening of God as punishment for their sins, they are lying about God. Think about this. Jesus Christ, what did he do? He came and he bore our sins on the cross of Calvary. Would a holy, a just God require a second payment for sin? No. Of course not. Jesus paid it. Once it's paid, it's paid. But there are those who never really get to know him because they are not willing to give of their will to God. Who think that when God chastens them to bring them back to the path, that God is punishing them. They are denying a just God. And God, if anything, is just. He's holy. He's there for you. He's there for me. Many times, I've had people tell me that it's so hard to live a Christian life with all the challenges and the temptations and the difficulties that are involved. They talk about temptations and hardship, and they talk about loneliness. And you know what I know immediately? I know that they're working in their own strength. They're not relying on the strength of God in their life. They're not letting the Holy Spirit work through them to empower them to accomplish what God saved them to accomplish. They're trying to be God. Yeah. They're trying to do what God is supposed to do. And they're trying to do it in their own strength. I used to be a businessman. I had people working for me. And on occasion, I might have a whole bunch of people working for me. And can you imagine what the hardest part of that was? And some of you here are or have been or are bosses. You have people working under you. The hardest part of that for me was delegating to the people what I knew I could do better than they could. And just letting them do it. God doesn't do that to us people. If God gives you something to do, God is going to empower you and he's going to make the provisions you need to do that job. My wife and I have been serving the Lord now for many, many years. And every time that we need somebody special, guess what God does? He sends them. He gives us the people in our life that we need for that particular time. Those people are there to be a blessing. They're there to be a help. And in some cases, they're there to be an example of what we need to be. I don't find them. God sends them. Folks, we serve a powerful God. We serve a God of wisdom, a God of knowledge, a God who wants you to succeed in this life in preparation for another life that's going to be so much more meaningful, another life that will never end. Too many times, you and I try to do in our own strength what God wants to do for us. Now, this can be a great example of how we go through life, operating in our own strength and in our own wisdom. We're not willing to let God do what God does best because he does everything perfectly. Once we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are no longer the boss. Grab a hold of that, folks. Once we trust Jesus Christ as Savior, you and I are no longer the boss. We're the servant. And we're not there to tell Jesus or God what to do or how to go about it. And many times in our prayers, we just know exactly how to fix a situation. And we tell God. I mean, the creator of the universe, the one who has all knowledge. We don't have all knowledge. And yet we try and tell God how to fix things. How long would our jobs last if we went around telling the boss how to do things? You and I, this morning, and we're coming to the application, and that's what I didn't get to last week, and that's why we're still going over this week. You and I are supposed to be resting in the arms of God. Being willing to let him take us wherever he wants, to do with us whatever he wants. Whatever he knows will bring glory to him. I can understand why people get discouraged when they can't accomplish the things that they think that they should be accomplishing. It becomes a real problem when they just quit and go away. God will chasten his children in order to bring them back. But these people who have gone away many times take it as a punishment. Oh, I deserve that because I did this or I did that. And that's not the way God works, people. If you are saved this morning, if he has saved you, if you have trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, all of your sin is paid for. You don't owe a dime on it. You couldn't pay for it. Jesus did. And God wants you to know that. It is paid for. So live that way. Live like it's paid for. That's not a license to be promiscuous or to do whatever you want to do. God has a purpose for each one of us. He wants us to serve him. He wants to use us to bring glory to himself. Now, when we were studying, we're going to be studying it again tonight. Now, we're still studying Hebrews. But when we were studying the 10th chapter of Hebrews, there were a couple of verses I'd like to read to you. Hebrews 10, 38 and 39. Hebrews 10, 38 and 39. It tells us, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, and that's what we've been talking about this morning, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. This is God speaking to his people. Verse 39. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Our Heavenly Father is making a very strong statement with these two verses. If a person is truly saved and they've been born again, they cannot draw back from God. God will not let them draw back. He will chasten them. He will bring them back to the path. The person who draws back has really not been saved. Oh, they may do all the right things. They may say all the right things. And even for a while, they may be a part of an act of service for the Lord. But eventually, they're going to walk away. It happens. The power of the Holy Spirit resides in each one here this morning if you have Jesus Christ as your Savior. You do not have to fail. You don't. You can be successful for God, even though you have weaknesses, even though you have things in your life that you know do not please God. God still loves you. God still has given you that Holy Spirit. He is there. He is waiting for an opportunity to use you. Folks, what we're talking about this morning, and this is the application. What we're talking about this morning is not like, oh, I wonder what color I'm going to paint my nails. Or I wonder if we should go out for dinner or if we should order in. No, people, we're talking about your life, your soul. We're talking about the most important thing that you will ever possess. We're talking about the only thing that is eternal. And God wants to have that for his own. And if he has that, you will not quit. You will continue. You will endure to the end. And there is an end coming. There's an end to everything, even this life. And that just opens the door to an endless, new life, new experience for each one of us. A life of nothing but blessing, no pain, no aging, no birthdays. Just not even days. In order to have a day, you've got to have a night. What do we know about heaven? There's no night there. We just enter into a time with God when we are with Him and we become a part of Him. We're not considering making a resolution. That's not what being saved is. And that's what so many people try and do. They try and make a resolution. Well, I'm going to change this or I'm going to change that about the way I'm living, and I'm going to live a different life. We have to let God change us. And He will if we let Him. That's what the Holy Spirit is here for. He is not here to just pour out blessings for us. He is here to guide us. He is here to communicate to us the will of God. Do you hear Him? Do you sense Him? You talked about discerning spirits this morning in Sunday school. He's one spirit you don't have to discern. He's one spirit who's real. He's one spirit who lives in your heart. So this morning, I would ask, if a person can quit entirely, then was that person really saved? Or did they just buy another one of the devil's counterfeits? Because the devil's going to counterfeit everything he can. 2 Peter 3:9, and we'll close. The Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to who? To usward, all of us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Folks, this morning, I trust that's where your heart is. Let's pray. Father, we know You love us. You've told us that. But Father, You've also tried to show us. So as we gather here this morning, as we have looked at Your word, as we've looked at several places in Your word, we would ask that Your will be done in each heart. And if there be someone here this morning who's never really trusted Christ by surrendering their will, by repenting of their sin and turning away, of experiencing the sorrow for their sin, Father, may Your Holy Spirit do the work that only He can do. Father, we pray that none in this group this morning will perish, but that we will all one day be with You in heaven. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.